213-231-8032, extension 207. Non-members can join KBOO and receive a ballot to vote. Just go to kboo.fm and click donate on the top right-hand corner. The annual meeting is Sunday, September 15th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Matt Dishman Community Center at 77 Northeast Knott Street in Portland. You can mail back your ballot or bring it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Ballots must be postmarked by September 10th or cast at the annual meeting by 2:40 p.m. to count. Get informed, get involved, and vote. Thanks.
Don't know the right words to say, I'm not magic. Don't hold the world in my hands. Wish I could fly through the air like a hero. But I'm just someone who loves you, that's all I am. Wish I could take you away to a palace, make you the queen of the land, all the riches and gold, I don't have them. I'm just someone who loves you, that's all I am. Love that is pure and sacred, I have all you need, and with you that's everything.
I gave him the signal.
To me. So I'll change.
Good morning. This is Black Book Talk for the month of September, back to school and all those wonderful fall things. I am Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman, and I'm here with
Patricia Welch, the Library Lady.
Obi Hill, Mirror Image Books, and our special guest,
Denorja Taylor,
who is a wonderful writer who has written two books now and published.
And
yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Okay. Here we go. Into the mic. Now,
is that better?
Yes. Now, this is our statement that even though August has passed, September is here, school is starting, but we can still have fun.
Yes.
Because Denorja's book is a whole lot of fun. Could you do a passage from your latest work?
Okay. I will. The story starts with, they found him in the basement at the church house. Somebody got him real good. He's been messing with people all his life, and up until now, no one did anything or said anything. Luella let fly out of her mouth. The unofficial Golden Age Black Women's Collective was open for business, information sharing, and to put it politely, it was time for the gossip crew. The boy's good and dead now. He can't hurt anybody else. I truly believe he killed his parents. The police found them out in the field with their hearts cut out. And somebody else worked with him to kill them. Came from Fina, who had just sat down in the corner chair hiding the last bit of cigarette she wanted to enjoy with her first cup of coffee. You think that devil's really gone? And so it goes on, they're having this conversation in a senior center. And they're talking about what happened to old Cup. And everybody, all of a sudden they hear a siren go by. And everybody clandestinely watched and waited for the first word of what was happening right then. And the church burned completely to the ground before the firemen could exit the vehicle.
Whoa. This is not a fun beginning, Denorja. So, you better tell us a little bit more.
people think that he, old Cup, burned the church down so that his spirit could remain. And nobody could get to him, no step-ins or nothing. And so it's about generational curses. Okay. There are some funny places, a lot of funny places in here. And it talks about how we keep secrets and how the secrets continue to harm us. I worked with several organizations that dealt with domestic violence, and I heard the stories of the children and the mothers, and some of those times the mothers never knew what the children were talking about, and you know, and so some of that essence is here that. And you saw it going from family to family to family. You see families with alcoholism, and it goes all the way through, you know, through several generations. And
folks, if you're hearing a little switching around, it's because we're doing a little switching around here in the studio.
And so they, you know, you've, is that better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That much better.
And so you find a lot of that in all of us, the secrets we don't want anyone to know. Sometimes it's just our own, we made a mistake and we don't want anybody to know, because afterwards, we say, oh, that was so stupid of me, and we don't want anybody to think we're stupid. But sometimes holding those secrets harm you more than telling the secret, or other people that could be affected by the same thing that you went through. So my characters are flawed. Many of the people in this town have had things happen to them that they keep to the grave. And they found that my time traveler, Kay, is told that she has to end this curse before the end of this century, or else the earth is just going to die.
Got time travelers, mm-hmm. generational curses,
yes.
mm-hmm. and some good old time gossip.
Yes, okay. All of that.
But first, yeah. could we back up to the other book, because Kay comes from your first book?
Yeah, Kay is also.
So could you tell us a little bit about the first book to lead us into your second one?
Okay, the first book is String Beans and Candy Canes. And that is when Kay is known to be a time traveler. And she has a neighbor friend that she leaves a message for to come follow her. And the young lady is curious as to why Kay always knows stuff that she's never heard of. So she follows the instructions that Kay left for her. And on the inside of the lid of the trunk were the instructions, almost demanding her attention. They were quite clear and precise. Lily did have an inquisitive nature. The instructions told her to wear the necklace hanging over the second diary, a cute, thin gold one, which had a charm with her nickname engraved on it, Nochi. It also said to take the instructions with her and the old writing pen, but not the diaries or the box that she really couldn't open. A handwritten message from Kay said, "Have fun, girl. I do. I'll see you in time. Press the button now." So she did. Well, she did, and she got lost. And so it took them several generations to find each other again. And from when they did find each other, they decided that there was something that they needed to do to give them clues of where the other person was, whichever realm they went to. And then there was a group of shady people who were power mongers. They were greedy.
They wanted to steal people's time, and that's what they started to do. But Kay and her entourage came to the rescue, so to speak. So I won't tell the rest of it, because I think it's a fun adventure for anyone to read. And that's the first one. So Kay is then summoned again by Hannah, who is the supreme angel that is the goddess of life. And she tells her, you have to find the source of this curse. And you have to, it has to be free will. So you have to convince whomever you find that it is their duty to save the community and ultimately, you know, the earth. So Kay goes back and finds all the places that the curse has shown itself. And it comes to this one family, and their last name is Chance.
What was the time frame that she went back, a period that he traveled back to?
He traveled back to the late 1700s, and then back again in the 1800s, and then in the early 1900s. And each time he got more and more familiar with what was going on and who the culprit was, but he had to find the exact moment that the curse began.
Okay, anyway, I'm confused. Now, I thought that Kay went back in time and found the family.
Yeah, they found the family. But Kay, because see, Kay is a time traveler now.
Right.
And so she had to find someone who would agree to go back. But what happened
and who did she
is,
find? Oh, okay.
And she found Byron.
Okay.
But what happened was she found him just before he was about to die. And he saw this lady he was really interested in, and they talked, and they became good friends. And she finally, reluctantly, agreed, because she said, there's no such thing. She was a Christian lady. There's no such thing as curses. There's nothing like that. And he finally got her to read with him Deuteronomy chapter 28, which talks about all the blessings in the very beginning of that chapter. The first 6 to 7 verses are about the wonderful blessings if you obey God's law. The next 20-something verses are the horrible, horrible curses. And she was, why don't people talk about this? And he said, well, if people went to church and they were always given information about curses, nobody would go to church. So he convinced her to help him. And she met Kay. And she was the only one at that point that was alive in this time that could break the curse.
Okay, and I know we don't want to give away all the good stuff.
Okay.
But okay, so this is science fiction.
Science fiction, time travel. Yes.
Travel, religious connections.
Yes.
Why did you choose to tell this story in this way? Let me just ask you that question. I'll come to the next one.
Okay. Well, I was working with families who had grandparents or someone else taking care of children. And a person handed me a book called Breaking Generational Curses. And I had never heard of that term before. So I started reading about it, and then I looked and saw there were patterns all the way through of things happening over and over again in families. And where do you stop them? Well, the book that I found said prayer, But you got to get a bunch of people to agree and pray and work it out, because you have families with drug addiction, alcoholism, violence, other criminal activity, and it's like it's gonna keep going. And what's his name that killed those two girls and buried him in his driveway? Amanda was one of the little girls, and the other one,
here in Oregon.
Here right outside of Portland.
Yes.
And remember, their faces were on billboards. Well, then, so he was convicted, of course. And then you find out his father was on death row for doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And so I thought about that. And I said, oh, this is scary. So what happened that the father and then the son did the same thing to little girls? So where do you find the connection that can be broken? If you talk about it as a reality, people will not look at it. So you turn it into something else that is far-fetched, and the message can get in there, but people will read it because they want to hear the journey. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does.
Okay.
It makes absolute sense. I want to ask you about a time when you have talked about a sick friend and where the germ for this story came from.
Oh, for this story? Yes. I had a friend that was ill. And he and I were good friends, and he got very, very ill, and he passed away, and I did miss him, because you have a friend, a hope to die friend. You remember when you were little, you mm-hmm. talked about that, and that's the way he was. And I had been getting sick, and he had been getting sick, and when he was sick, I wasn't, and I would take him food, and when I was sick, he would bring the whole thing. And he passed away. And I have an aunt that said, how's everything going with you? And I said, oh, pretty good, pretty good. And I said, but, my house is different. It feels different. And she said, well, she was telling me about people, spirits coming to visit. And I said, mm-hmm, yeah. And so one day, I sat down on my bed, and I laid across the bed, and it felt like and somebody had sat down on the foot of my bed. Scared me to death.
Okay.
And so I called her. So, let me read this to you.
Okay.
You're listening to Black Book Talk on KBOO, and our guest today is Denardia Taylor.
When walking through the doorway, Maple almost jumped out of her skin because a funny feeling caused her to look around the room. Right then, she noticed an indentation on the bed. She backed away from the room because she had not sat on the bed since she made it this morning, and no one else could get in the house. She told herself to calm down. There's no reason for me to be afraid, she said over and over. Suddenly, if you're in here, I got a gun, she shouted. I'll shoot you. Maple thought to call the police, but her purse was next to the front door. Again, she looked at the place on the bed towards the imprint. It was gone. She laughed out loud. Don't tell me I'm losing my mind, she said it to Buster, the bird. She went to get the water, and there was still something about what she believed was on the bed. Maple busied herself the rest of the evening. And so later that night, in the book, it's almost like the sun comes in because the moon is so bright, and she sees a shooting star, and she asks the star if her friend could come to her dream. And she opened her eyes later that evening. And he was there.
Oh, dear.
And it frightened her at first. And she said, no. He said, no, you asked me to come to your dream, remember? And she said, I did ask, so I'm dreaming. But deep inside, she knew she was awake. But she went along with, okay, I'm in a dream.
So are you saying that this mirrored your experience?
No, that wasn't my experience. But it was just the idea of that. What if that could happen?
Okay.
What if that could happen? You know?
Yeah, I guess it could.
Stranger things.
Oh, yes.
And then when I say this, when I read this to people, they tell me other stories of seeing people, and I don't want to see anybody, I tell you. If they're gone, they're gone. But they've told me actual stories of seeing people and not really knowing what to do right then and there except, you know, freeze.
Except.
So when this happens, then over time, he convinces her that even though he's a ghost, he wants to get rid of this curse because it affects all of them in that community. And he wants their children and their children's children to have a place. But they never realized that they cared about each other until after he was gone. But just before he died, he left her. He put a CD in his backpack when he went into the hospital and put her name on it. And he told her, I want you to listen to the sixth song on this. And when she heard it, she said, is he saying what I think he's saying? Because she never thought of an affair with him. She thought about friendship, but she realized that they were closer than that.
And the song that was on the CD?
All I Am.
I mentioned that only because that's the opening song.
Okay.
Today. If you were listening from the beginning of this program, then you heard George Benson singing All That I Am, and that's the song from the book.
Yes. And, you know, he didn't have a lot. But, you know, he was trying to say that he wanted to be with her for the rest of his life. But she didn't know that that would be the last time that she would see him alive. And she heard the song, and they talked about it. And he was telling her he was going to get up and go back to work, and they were going to have a little cottage someplace because by now they're older. And he said, "Well, we can find a place to just for us to be clanking around there together with our old burnout bodies." But he died that day.
Uh-huh. Now we all dance to the beat of a different drummer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change the subject a little bit. The book took a lot of work, and you had other people involved, and it's a self-published book, is that correct?
Yes.
And what was your role of your daughter, for instance, in Heaven?
My daughter designed the cover. And it's her. She's an artist, and she painted the cover.
It's beautiful.
And then she let me know how to put it together, and she did that.
Okay, and the marketing effort you're going to be involved in. Now, the book is coming out exactly when?
It went live today on Kindle.
Okay, so and how would people get a copy of that book?
Go to Kindle on Amazon, and the paperback should be completed by next week, next Friday. And again, through Amazon.
Excellent.
And if, you know, or you could go to any bookstore and you could get it, but they would have to order it for you. I will be doing some book signings around the city in the next few months, And I will, of course, have the books at whatever bookstore I'm signing.
So how would someone get in touch with you to arrange for one of these book signings?
I'm on Facebook. And that would be the easiest way. Facebook would be the easiest way.
Tina, would you spell your name? Because it's unusual, so people
okay,
can find
it. It's D apostrophe N-O-R-G-I-A.
Taylor. Is it just your first name or is it both names to get you on Facebook?
Both names, Denorja Taylor, and you find me on Facebook.
Yeah. Are there plans for another book?
Yes. And it's already started. It's halfway done. And it is about our food supply and what's going on. Why aren't we planting? I remember growing up in Michigan. My mother always had a garden. And in fall, just when we were going back to school, all the stuff would come in the house. Mm-hmm. And she'd have all her jars and everything.
That's right.
And we all had to work on all of the, we had to do the cutting and the washing and everything. And we had food all winter.
Yes.
That was right out of our garden.
Yes.
And with all the things that are happening now with genetically modified food and stuff, you know, we need to go back to that. We need to go back to planting and cultivating the food we put in our mouths, because what we eat is what we become.
Now, is this going to be fiction or science
fiction? It is going to be science fiction.
Okay.
Because Kay is here, too. And Kay is a takeoff of a great aunt I had. She was married to my grandfather's brother. She was a little spitfire, although I make Kay tall. She was 5 feet or so. And back in the 20s, she was an RN in New York City. And, you know, back then you didn't have, there weren't very many black women with college degrees. And she worked in the pediatric and obstetrics department. And she had so much drive, and she had so many stories. Some of them pop up in here. And so she was just amazing to me. And as a little girl, I admired her.
Well, you know, I think that people are just going to have to start with string beans and candy canes. You get the background, then they're going to have to come up and read If by Chance. And it is so wonderful to have you here. And I know that at least one of the places where you will be reading your book or reading and leading a discussion of your book is at the North Cortland Library in November.
Yes.
And
yes.
Please, you know, send us emails. Let us know where you'll be reading around town.
I sure will.
Well, it's lovely to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you so much.
And again, If by Chance is now available online and soon in print. And String Beans and Candy Canes is available in print. Is it also an ebook?
It's going to be an ebook in January.
Okay. Denorja Taylor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Excellent.
You've been listening to Black Book Talk on KBOO. Bye bye.
Bye.
See you next month.
George Benson, take us on out.
Is he on?
Don't know the right words to say. I'm not magic. Don't hold the world in my hands. Wish I could fly through the air like a hero. But I'm just someone who loves you. That's all I am. Wish I could take you away to a palace, make you the queen of the land, all the riches and gold, I don't have them,
just someone who loves you. That's all I have.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Thursday, September 5th. New revelations of contaminated water leaking from storage tanks at the tsunami-ravaged Fukushima nuclear plant have raised alarm, not just in Japan, but also across the Pacific. The level of contamination is close to 20 times more than it has ever been previously acknowledged. This announcement comes just weeks after Japanese officials acknowledged that radioactive water has been seeping into the Pacific from the plant for more than 2 years.
Today, Kenya's parliament voted to withdraw from the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. The country's president and vice president are charged on several counts of crimes against humanity and face trial in The Hague later this year. President Uhuru Kenyatta and Deputy President William Ruto both deny the charges. Kenya's withdrawal will be the first in the count's history, and the ICC say the cases will continue regardless.
MIT scientists working with Chilean scientists found a way to harvest fog to make drinking water. 17 countries currently use this technology. Plants use their leaves to pull ambient water from the air, and based on those principles, large nets like tennis court nets have been erected to collect the water. The Chilean version of the system collects 5 times as much moisture as other systems.
On Wednesday, the Washington Liquor Control Board proposed licensing a maximum of 334 statewide marijuana retail locations. A production cap of 40 metric tons was suggested, with 1 metric ton roughly equating the weight of an elephant. The licensing process will be a long and complicated one, and candidates will be selected at random.